quickest way for you to create misery in your current life is to wish you were somewhere else, or in some way, to be elsewhere. The understanding that the way that we interpret the events in our lives matters more than the events themselves, right? If you're interested in raising the way that you feel, like improving your wellness, your meaning, your mattering in life, the quickest path to that isn't self-care, it's other care.
Hello, listeners. Thank you for joining us today. Our guest is Yuri Mello. Yuri, as we normally do here, take a few minutes, introduce yourself, and we'll let the conversation go from there.
I love it. Russell, thank you so much for letting me come. I love the topic. I love the title of your podcast, and I hope that I can find lots of fun ways with maybe some ideas and some strategies to make those skills, right, really come to life to your listeners. But so yeah, my name is Yuri Mello. I've been a licensed clinical social worker now for a long time. Most of my time and experience has really been as a psychotherapist of 21 years. I'm still doing that, while at the same time trying to create this wonderful service that started about 7 years ago. We started School Pulse about 7 years ago. I'll tell you briefly about that, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Interestingly enough, as probably as it is with most things, we've kind of recognized, or really the program came as kind of the genesis of some crisis that was happening here in our community. We had in 2017, we lost about 7 students to suicide here in our community. It was odd. Actually, in the whole state of Utah, it was odd. There were lots of suicides, lots of student suicides. And a good friend of mine who was a local principal here, a principal that I believe is a real innovator, and definitely whose focus was on just student wellness and student excellence. And he reached out to me. By then, I had written a couple of books. And I think his concern, obviously, because he had lost a couple of students to suicide, some of my children were actually going to that school. And he just felt like all that he really had at his disposal were just reactive tools. In a sense, he saw himself kind of passively waiting for crisis, and then the crisis would blow up, and then everybody would kind of rush around and do the best that they could to intervene and to bring peace, to restore some peace back. But he decided that he wanted to do a lot more. And so we kind of had these mastermind type discussions and brainstorming sessions about what we could do, you know, whether we could add more resources or how could we be a little bit more proactive and truly preventative, not just act in kind of an intervention type of way. And then I reconnected with a good friend of mine who's a software engineer, true genius, who helped us to kind of put this idea together. And within a very quick moment, we decided that we were going to proactively engage students via text. And then later on, a few years, we actually ended up not only continuing to do that, but actually providing a live team of support. So that's just a little bit about me and what I'm kind of doing right now. But
thank you for that. We as a society, I think, appreciate the kind of efforts that you put forth in the health and safety of our children. I was formulating a question as you were talking. My question was going to be, if someone is feeling that way, what piece of advice would you give? And then you immediately gave a solution for the problem you presented. So appreciate that. If you're feeling disconnected, the best solution are real personal relationships and to experience the now. And also, I was reminded very strongly of Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now. Are you familiar with that book? Absolutely.
Of course. Yeah, that was like a top 10 for me. That's a good one.
Great. Yeah, a fantastic book. I don't think it gets anywhere near the attention that it should. And a really quite a simple book. And the title encapsulates the entire book. It takes some explanation to get the concept across. But so let's take a step back. You said your practice is based mostly in, or maybe you should tell me, you mentioned CBT. And so your techniques and your theory of treatment is based in CBT or draws from that. Is that right?
It is, yeah. I think as a therapist over the years, and I do lots of things, but I mean, including experiential type things, but I do have a tendency to kind of practice this type of psychology, right? That focuses, I really to say, on the power of our psychology, right? The understanding that the way that we interpret the events in our lives matters more than the events themselves. And we're just these meaning-making machines, like that's, or these spiritual, these souls, right? And that's what we do. And when we do that incorrectly, right? When our lenses, right? When we're looking at the world from a real pessimistic perspective, then life is really difficult. And actually, I mean, life is difficult even with the optimistic ones. It's just that an optimistic lens allows you, it energizes you, it keeps you lit, it keeps you going, it keeps you persistent, it keeps you moving forward. And it, whereas that kind of pessimistic lens, right, when we feel like events are permanent, that problems are pervasive, when we feel like we're to blame and that we're powerless, like when we feel and believe that, then there can only be one outcome, right? And that is a loss of energy, it's a loss of motivation. And we end up feeling hopeless and powerless.
And part of what you said, a good part of that reminded me, you talked about other care, reminded me of Stephen Covey's, I believe I'm attributing the phrase correctly, don't try to be understood, try to understand. And that's the same concept as other care, I believe. I think you're taking a little bit further with more than the one is more like in a conversational basis, but you're talking about in a real hands-on relational way. To seek to help others in some way. And that is the quickest way to happiness and self-satisfaction. That's quite strong. I appreciate that.
You bet. Yeah, that's a great. I love that book. I think that was one of his seven habits, right? Was seek
Yes.
first to understand, then to be understood. And interestingly enough, right? That was, I think that book was significant enough because it created that little bit of a shift, right? From kind of this, the psychology of illness, right? To a psychology of success, right? Seven
Wow.
habits of highly effective people. Like that was kind of that paradigm shift to let's look at what brings joy instead of just, you know, how do we, because in a way it's one thing to help someone feel less sad or less anxious, and it's a whole other to help somebody feel joy or to live a
That's
life of or like to feel confident. Those are two different things.
Do you have things in your life that you'd be willing to share that you would recommend as far as a habit stack or in light of Stephen Covey's book, The Habits of Successful People?
Yeah, I'll share a couple that have been, I think, a part of my life. And I would say, I mean, I'm a family man. I mean, my spouse and my five children in that. So I would say caring for them. I have to just say, like, I mean, that is, there is a hierarchy there for me, right? And that lands squarely as number one, right? And when I feel like I am doing well there, I think that frees my mind to do well in these other areas, right? And so this kind of private success precedes some of my other success. I think is actually, interestingly enough, we're quoting Stephen Covey. I think that's what he said. Private successes precede public successes. And so that's a really important one. It reminds me of another quote, you know, like, you know, no, what was it? Like, no other success can compensate for failure in the home kind of concept. And I'll take this one from Tony Robbins. He talked about this hour of power, which is kind of a habit stack or kind of a miracle morning type idea of just when I begin my days, and this is just my own personal, right? When I begin my days with a run, I try to stack, right, some learning during that run, whether I'm listening to a podcast or a book, or even something that's kind of spiritual. And by the time I put, before I even eat a piece of toast or have a yogurt in the morning, like I feel like my day is a success. Whether that's beginning your day with a walk with a swim, with meditation, with yoga, with a walk with your partner or your spouse or with your dog, whatever that is. But I'm telling you, like, just crank that engine and get it going and reap the benefits. So I would definitely say, do what you can. Do what you can. And I would just say, just as your friend, like, find a way to connect to things that are just larger than you. When you find those things that are larger than you and you connect to those, and perhaps even more importantly, when you connect to those people in those communities, right? I would just suggest to you, find something like that and join it and be a part of it, because the evidence is really, really good at not only that increasing your overall sense of joy, meaning, purpose, and happiness, but it's also really important for you to just be within those little communities and creating these little networks. That there's a great little quote, and I'll massacre it, but it's something to the effect of, like, people multiply your, well, let's see, relationships multiply your joys and divide your sorrows. Something like that. Positive relationships multiply your joys and divide your sorrows.
We've got the two final answers that we normally go for. Yeah. Leave us with a parting word and we'll sign off and let our listeners digest some of this great information that we've presented to them today.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for that opportunity. Yeah, I've written a couple of books. One of them was Mind Over Gray Matter. And that was the first one that I wrote. And then I followed that up with Know Thyselfie, which is kind of a book more for teens. But, and then, of course, School Pulse. Obviously, we're serving schools, districts, private schools, state departments, even. And our goal really is to change the paradigm. I feel like we can be a little enamored with just the risk factors, right? I feel like a lot of our interventions at the school level are just interventions, meaning we're just kind of a step too late. And all of it matters. Like, I once again, I'm not trying to be critical. All that I'm suggesting is a move from intervention, which I think is where we live, right? It's kind of that medical model that I described, and kind of this paradigm shift towards proactive prevention,
exactly.
Right?
All right, listeners, Yuri Mello, author, co-founder of schoolpulse.org. Thanks for being with us today. Listeners, we'll see you next week.